Good morning, everyone. Sani Bonani. It is once again a privilege to be speaking to you this morning. Before we get into the message for today, I would like to highlight a few things that I think would be of value to this message. In the past few weeks, Alan, our lead elder, has been bringing messages that I feel has been steering the church towards a certain direction. And most of these messages, they are the root from the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 downwards. It's a scripture or a chapter that is mainly known as the Great Commission. Not that all the messages are preached from that scripture, but I said the root of the messages. He has been encouraging us and empowering us, even talking about gifts and many other things. And I believe that the root of the messages is Matthew chapter 28. The Bible speaks of seasons and times, understanding the seasons and the times. I believe that there are certain messages that comes at a particular season just to cast vision. And I believe that we are at that season when that vision is being cast, where we are being steered into a certain direction. We have also started our Bible studies in our church, and these Bible studies are focused mainly on disciple making or discipleship. They are conducted after the main service on Sundays. So if you haven't been attending, if you could, please attend if you can. The message for today is God desires a family. So in Matthew chapter 28, we have been commanded. I almost used the wrong word. I almost said encouraged. It's not encouraged. We have been commanded to go into the nations to make disciples. And as we go into the nations and make disciples, one of the most important component in this picture is the church itself. Because after we have gone, we have made disciples, those people that we preach to, they become believers, and then we make them disciples, as the Bible says. They have to find a home. And that home is known as the church. God the Father with sons and daughters. So the church is but one part of God's big family. And we see that Paul highlights that very well in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. I will read from verse 5, verse 10, verse 22, and verse 23. And this is what the Bible says. In verse 5, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And Jesus echoed the same words in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, and he said this. Sorry, in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. In verse 19, therefore go and make disciples. So Jesus spoke these words, but before he said go, he told them, he said, authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. In other words, heaven and earth has become one as far as he was concerned. And then he said, go and make disciples. In verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Praise God. So from verse 5, we see that before time in memory, before you and me were born, before we existed, God had a plan. God had a plan, and God had prepared a destiny for you. And that destiny for you and me was that you would become a son or a daughter of God. That's what the Bible says. And God is not doing it by force. The Bible says, in accordance with his pleasure and will. In other words, it pleases God to see you as a son and a daughter in God's kingdom. So friends, these are what one would call concepts, but they're very powerful concepts if we understand them. If you can look at yourself, not just as a Christian or a believer, but look at yourself as a son and a daughter of God. In other words, you embrace what Jesus says when he says, when you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven." You look at God as your father. You look at yourself as a son. Praise God. So from these scriptures or verses, we see that God wants many sons and daughters. And I believe that's the reason Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 16 downwards, he commands us. I almost said encourage. He commands us to go and make disciples. Now, friends, when we go and make disciples, there has to be a place where the disciples come so that we can do what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, and that is to teach them how to obey. And that place is called church. In God's eyes, that's his family. Praise God. So God wants many sons and daughters who would look like him, who would go out there and bring other people into the family who would look like Jesus in character, in ministry, and in many things. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, the Bible says this: "For those God foreknew, he also predestined." So Romans 8, 29 echoes what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says: "For those God foreknew," in other words, before you even existed, "he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." So when Jesus looks at you, he looks at a brother, he looks at a sister, and he wants us to look like him. Praise God. Now, Jesus wants us to look like him and to be like him in many things. And one of those things that God or Jesus would want to be like Jesus is character and ministry. But I want to talk about ministry. So let's go to the book of John chapter 17. Reading from this verse 2, the Bible says, "For you granted him authority over all people." Now this is Jesus praying to the Father. So he speaks about himself as though he was speaking about someone else. But this is actually Jesus speaking about himself. If you read from this one, you understand that. "For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him." So right away we see that Jesus acknowledged that authority comes from God. Authority over people come from God, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. It's God who brings people. So when the Bible says go and make disciples, we must understand that in as much as we can go, we must believe and embrace the fact that it is God who gives, or God who brings people. Praise God. And Jesus understood that. In verse 3, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Go and make disciples. Because God is speaking to Jesus, the brother, the big brother. And he says, "so that they may know you." So the reason we go into the nations to make disciples is that people may know Christ, may know God. No other reason is to introduce Christ, introduce God to the nations. Praise God. Verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. So Jesus was so mindful of the fact that everything that he did, he had to give glory, or the work had to give glory to God. And he also acknowledges that God gives work to the family members. Jesus and the people in the family acknowledging that God gives work. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work. You and me, brother, sister, God has given us work to do. And we have to finish that work. Verse 5, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So friends, in everything that we do for God, glory does not come from anywhere else. Glory comes from God. It is God who glorifies us as a family. After we have done his work, God glorifies. Praise God. In verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. This is powerful. So Jesus again acknowledges that his work was to reveal God to the nations. So when the Bible says go into the nations, friends, the mandate is clear, and the mandate is to reveal the Father to the nations. And Jesus emphasized these words, and he says, those whom you gave me out of the world. So, friends, it is God who changes, who touches the hearts of people. Our mandate is to go, but God brings people, God gives people, and God changes people. Ours is to reveal God to them. They were yours. The people that come to the family, to church, they are God's. They belong to God. They do not belong to us. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Friends, they can only obey the word of God if we teach them, as the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, and it says, and teaching them to obey. They can only obey if we teach them how to obey, as Jesus puts it. Praise God. So to summarize, Jesus knew that God gives. Jesus knew that authority comes from God, that God sends. Jesus also knew that he had to bring glory to God. Everything that you do, friends, bring glory to God. God gives work to do, and God has given. Friends, family, brothers and sisters, God has given work to do. Jesus knew that he had to reveal the Father. Our mandate is clear. Our mandate to God's family is clear, is to reveal the Father to the nations. Now, I struggled as I prepared this message. A few weeks ago, I was speaking to some friends of mine, and we were just talking about preaching the gospel, especially into the townships. And you know, just the thought of thinking, or just the thought of preaching the gospel into the townships, you know, brings a lot of fear, you know, if you understand what is happening. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we have to be committed to the mandate that God has given us. Praise God. Now, asking the Father for the nations. Now, as sons and daughters, we are expected to ask the Father for the nations so that we can reveal the Father for the expansion of the family. Now, if this family called church has to grow, as we will see in the book of Psalms 2, verse 8 to verse 7 to verse 8, God expects us to ask him for the nations. And this is what verse 7 says. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. Verse 8 is powerful. And verse 8 says, ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. So friends, God the Father has given us a great promise. It's a wonderful promise. God has promised to give us the nations if we can only ask. God, give us the nations. Remember, it is God who gives. Praise God. And in conclusion, I would like to say this. So in everything that we have seen from Scripture, as the chess players would say, what is the end game? What would God want to see at the end of the day? So friends, the end game, or God's end game, is reconciliation. Is to see many people in the nations, many people that do not know Him, being reconciled to the Father, so that they can come in the church, so that we can teach them how to obey, so that we can reveal Christ to them. As they look at Him, they would conform. They would begin to look like Jesus. Praise God. So God's end game is reconciliation. To reconcile is to bring someone back into a friendly relationship. God created man for fellowship. So to reconcile is, you know, if there was a relationship with you and someone, something happened and then there was a breakup, argument and stuff like that. To reconcile is when people come together and say, hey, let's go back to the way things used to be. So God wants people to be reconciled back to Him so that it can be just the way God wanted it from the beginning. Praise God. In closing, I would like to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 20, and the Bible says this. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I found that scripture to be powerful for two reasons. God has reconciled us. In other words, you and me were in the same position as people that we look at as they don't know God. The Bible says we were in that position, but God through Christ reconciled us back to Him. After reconciliation, God gives us a mandate. He says, now go and bring more people. Praise God. In verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins. So when we go into the nations, our mandate is not to go and count people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Our mandate, again, is very clear, friends, brothers and sisters. Our message is the message of reconciliation. So we don't focus on their sins or counting their ugliness and their sins. Our mandate is clear, is to take the message of reconciliation. Praise God. In verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We are ambassadors, and the Bible says God speaks through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Summary, we have been reconciled. God wants the world to be reconciled into the family, and we are God's ambassadors. Praise God. Let's go into the nations. It can be scary sometimes, but let's go into the nations, make disciples, and teach them to obey. Have a lovely week, and God bless you.